Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this Thanksgiving Sunday. We'll be celebrating and receiving gifts to our in-gathering, our pledges for next year, as well as our Thanksgiving offering as part of the service today. And, some people have already brought their gifts down. I encourage you just to hold on to them during the service. We'll invite you to bring them down. If you need assistance carrying your bag of food, we'll make sure we get somebody to help you do that as well. But it's good to have you here today. Special welcome to those who may be visiting. I want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the inside back cover of today's bulletin the calendar for this week, and there are some meetings scheduled after church today. There is no Bible study this week, as I will be on vacation. And you will note that the Christmas Angel Tree Project has begun. There is a bulletin board in Judson Chapel with several gifts with angel figures on it. If you'd like to take one of those gifts, suggested gifts, and purchase it, bring it back by December 13th. Those gifts will be going to housing families for some of their clients. Also in Judson Chapel, there is the list for the White Cross requests that will be going to our missionaries. And you are invited to sign up for something on that if you'd like to and bring that back as well. I wanted to bring you up to date on the Penny Project. And it's been growing this morning as people keep bringing in their coins, and we appreciate that. We are over, I believe, $1,250. Our goal is $2,000, and we have through next Sunday, basically, that we're sort of, that's a soft deadline. So I do want to thank all who have contributed, and if you are considering contributing, we do ask that you do that either today or next week. We'll accept any forms of cash or checks, coins, bills, anything, and this is to help children in poverty. Each penny that is donated represents one child living in poverty, and our denomination estimates that there are 15 million children living in poverty. And their goal is to raise 15 million pennies by December 15th of this year. And so we are working on our part of fulfilling that goal with them. Also, I want to share with you briefly a thank you note that I received this week from Casa de Fe y Alabanza, the Hispanic congregation that meets next door in our parish house that we shared in worship with back in September. And they write, "Dear First Baptist American Church, we just want to thank you all as a church for the wonderful participation in our 15th anniversary. We are thankful, too, for your offering that helped with the cake and decorations. We are blessed to share ministry with you all, and we wish you many Thanksgivings this year. With love and gratitude, Casa de Fe Alabanza, Reverend Jose Sanchez." And so that is a thank you note from them during this Thanksgiving time, appreciating and expressing gratitude for our shared ministry here through our church, but through our facilities. So we want to, want to share that with you this morning. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 768 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading selected verses from Psalm 118 as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship, and let us read responsively from God's holy word. You are my God, and I will give you thanks.
You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks.
Our opening hymn is number 765, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only, and those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Safely gathering, hear, O Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord, today we come into your presence with singing. We worship you with gratefulness for all the ways you have blessed us. You are our God. It is you who made us, and we are yours. We thank you for your precious gifts of faith in Jesus Christ, love toward one another, the spirit of wisdom, and the amazing grace that you offer each of us. Inspire us always to be your grateful people, so that every time and place we may give thanks to you and bless your holy name. We ask this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May be seated, but not for very long, I hope. At this time, we will have you come forward with any presentations you may have of pledges, financial pledges for next year, your Thanksgiving offering, and or gifts for the in-gathering. Hold on to your regular morning offering. We will have that later in the service, but any of the special gifts you'd like to bring forward for Thanksgiving, please do so at this time. Thank you for your generous gifts. I want to thank Marilyn Glover also for decorating the boxes so prettily for us this year. It's always nice to have, rather than just a cardboard box, it's nice to have decorated boxes. So thank you, Marilyn, for that. To dedicate all of our gifts that we've brought forward at this time, I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our litany of dedication. And let us read in a spirit of prayer. Jesus said, Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn.
Help us, O God, to use these pledges and gifts for the proclamation of the amazing news, that death must not have the last word.
Blessed are the humble.
Gracious One, teach us to be humble, as these gifts and pledges are indeed humble, light of the wondrous grace.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. Blessed are the merciful.
Show us merciful mind, the depth of your mercy, and the very act of giving, by reminding us the gift of your Son, the Lord of mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart.
Let this offering of our hands, O God, purify our hearts.
And Jesus said, Blessed are you when people shall revile you on my account.
Accept, Lord, our pledges and our gifts. Teach us to love the world you love, neither fearing hostility nor expecting any reward. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus.
And as a song of dedication, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to 770. Remain seated as we sing the song, Give Thanks. Let us give thanks and let us continue in worship as Irene Hoffman provides a solo for us.
Bless these ones.
Thank you, Irene and Marilyn. We come to a time of having an opportunity of sharing celebrations and concerns with the church family as we go into the time of prayer. We want to remember Sue Bowdridge. Sue had surgery on her left wrist for carpal tunnel this week, and I spoke with her Wednesday night, and she seemed to be doing okay. So haven't checked with her since then, but do want to keep her in prayer. And I know I talked with Mark this week, and their granddaughter Jennifer came through surgery and came through everything, and she has a clean bill of health. She is cancer-free. So we do celebrate that. We do praise God for that. And we want to remember Jim Hickey. Jim had a surgical procedure this week and doing okay. Brace off the wrist yet, Jim? Oh, okay, so no more brace on the wrist. So we want to keep Jim as he continues to recuperate in prayer as well. Heard from Claire Stevens yesterday, and Claire wants to be remembered to the church family and wants to express her gratitude for cards and calls that she's been receiving, and also has asked for prayers for her brother-in-law, Gerald Stevens. We've been praying for him on and off for a few years, and basically the doctors have told him that there's nothing more that they can do for him. And so he's rather discouraged about that, obviously. And so we want to keep him in prayer as well. Also, I received an email yesterday regarding Reverend George and Stella Mosley, some folks that have taken trips, traveled with them in the past, that Stella passed away this week. And George has been hospitalized, undergoing two surgeries, and is now has been transferred to hospice. And so we want to keep the Mosley family in prayer today as well. Also, Steve Butlin's friend Kathy, her son, is battling alcoholism and struggling very hard right now. So we want to keep him in prayer as well today. And obviously, issues that are going on in the world that we need to lift up as well. So do you have any concerns or celebrations you'd like to share with the church family? Peggy. Right. Okay. Peggy's grandson Michael and his wife Ashley are expecting a child, but there are complications, and so they're having a test tomorrow. So I want to pray for them and just keep them in our prayers. Barbara? Wonderful. Oh, good. That's very good. So after his open heart surgery, then David's doing very well and on the fast road to recovery at this point. Yeah. So great, the light is on at the end of the tunnel, and great. So he's progressed very well. 6 weeks, and that's good. That's very good. Anyone else have Sharon? Yeah, Sharon has a very good friend whose mother is still in ICU. Okay, but just very, 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 very ill at this point. And basically went into the emergency room, not thinking it was that serious, and ended up in ICU. So I want to keep that family in prayer as well. Lisa, so those who had stable jobs beginning of the week, by the end of the week, they didn't have. So we want to keep those who are looking for work, especially at this holiday time, that it's very difficult. Joe, last week too, Philip Pizarro, basic good friend of Joe's, and has also been told by his doctors that there's nothing else they can do to help him as well. So family dealing with that news, and individual as well. So I want to keep him in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Creator God, we come to you on this Thanksgiving Sunday aware of the rich bounty that we have amassed in our world, the beauty of farms and the food that we're able to consume, and we're able to transport, and we're able to have fruits and vegetables fresh, which don't grow in this area, during the winter, but we can have that from other parts of the world. And Lord, we just are so thankful for the beauty of creation and the abundance that we are able to enjoy. And on this Thanksgiving Sunday, Lord, while nature here is going dormant, we realize that other areas of our country and the world, that other places, that it is still springtime and growing seasons, and We're just so thankful for that, for the continuity of life through growth. Lord, as being created by you, we are your children. And as we come, we realize that we are not always good children and perfect children. We come to apologize and ask for your forgiveness when we have gone against your wishes and your will for us. That's part of offering thanks, is admitting when we've made mistakes, Lord, and sometimes it's hard for us to do that. Lord, as we come together today, we do lift up those who are ill. We've mentioned several by name and relationship, and just pray for your healing in their lives according to your will. And, you know, illness comes in many different forms, oh God, and we recognize that. And just, you know, pray that you'll be with those who are ill in any form today and send your spirit to them. We also pray, oh God, for your spirit of comfort and peace to be with those who are in mourning today, who are, you know, sensing the loss of a loved one, a dear one near them, especially in this approaching holiday season when so many memories flood our minds and remembering loved ones who are no longer with us. But Lord, help us not to just remain in sadness, but also to offer you gratitude for their life and the love that they shared with us. Lord, as we come this day, we are mindful of our world, and it doesn't seem like a day goes by, but what we hear of more violence and more terror taking place. And Lord, it's not so much over there someplace, but the threat is here as well. And because our world is so global now, and we are such a small microcosm now, that, you know, communication and travel is so rapid that what happens in one place, we learn about all the way around the world almost instantaneously. And Lord, we pray for those who have been affected so far by terrorists. We think especially of those in France and in Mali. We just pray for those that are trying to discover those who are at fault. We pray for those who are trying to keep us safe around this world. Lord, it is a dangerous world to live in right now. We recognize that. But Lord, help us not to be paralyzed by our worries and our concerns. Help us not to be so fearful that we are frozen in our tracks. But Lord, help us also to be cautious and aware of our surroundings. We are told that all the time. And we're told to say something if we see something. But Lord, just help us to be courageous and bold in our living. And also, Lord, as we are doing that, help us to be faithful to you and living as you would have us live in our world. That we have received a commission from Christ to go into the world and not to hide away, but to be in the world, living our faith in visible ways, in tangible ways of speaking. Lord, help us to do that, knowing that we may be rejected, but yet that is what we have been commissioned to do. Lord, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we thank you for all of our blessings. And we lift them up, these prayers up to you now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We have offered our special Thanksgiving offerings this morning, but we have an opportunity now to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this church through our tithes and our gifts. This time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Praise, oh, praise, oh, God and King. Fields of adoration sing. For his mercies still endure. Thank you.
pray together. Lord, we offer these tithes and gifts to you with a spirit of gratitude for all of your blessings. And we pray that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen. May be seated. Paul Patry is our lay leader today and will be reading scripture with us today.
Our scripture this morning is a responsive scripture. It is selection 777 found in the blue hymnal. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, in his courts with praise. Glorify the Lord with me. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Glorious and majestic are his deeds. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Sing to him, sing praise to him. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I will sacrifice a thank offering. That concludes our reading. May God add his blessing to and our understanding to the reading of his word.
Let's pray together. Lord, we do gather on this Sunday to praise you. Lord, we do that every Sunday. We just take extra time today to focus on expressing our gratitude to you, reflecting on our lives and your role in them. And Lord, we just pray that as we worship here this morning, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If I were to ask you this morning to make a list of everything you are thankful for this Thanksgiving, many of us would probably include the importance of God in our lives. But if some roving reporter stopped us at the mall tomorrow and asked, "What are you particularly thankful for this Thanksgiving?" there's a good chance that we would mention our health, or our children, or our land of plenty, or a good job that we have, or joy that we have in our lives, or a dozen other things. And we might never think to mention God or Jesus in that public setting. When the word Thanksgiving is mentioned, we tend to think of it in terms of a cornucopia of blessings, amber fields of grain and purple mountains' majesties, a table loaded with turkey and sweet potatoes and stuffing and a wide assortment of pies, a healthy, happy family gathered together in the dining room, a home filled with the warmth of an open fire and cheerful voices, a healthy bank account to support everything that we want, enough position or status in the world to satisfy our personal needs. A favorite hymn instructs us to count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. But what about the person who has come upon hard times and does not appear to have much to be thankful for? Is that person left out of being thankful? Suppose it's someone facing treatment for a serious illness. Is there time to be thankful right now? Suppose if someone will be eating Thanksgiving dinner alone because the dearest person in his or her life died 6 weeks ago. Will this person feel thankful? Or maybe it's someone who has recently lost a job, and the coming of the holiday season is hardly cause for rejoicing. What is the basis for this person's thanksgiving? The Bible reminds us that there are two levels of thanksgiving open to us. One is the level of thanksgiving for the provisions of life, for food and shelter and interpersonal relationships and all those types of things. The other is the deeper level of thanksgiving for our relationship with God. The first is important, the Bible says, but it's not nearly so important as the second. For our relationship with God is the most important gift we have in life. "Bless the Lord, O my soul," intoned the psalmist, "for his steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting." The Hebrew word hesed, here translated steadfast love, is the word that's most frequently used to express God's loving kindness to his people throughout the ages. It's not just a temporary thing, but for all time, God loves his people. In the New Testament, we find the Apostle Paul reinforcing and redirecting this when he writes these words: "God gives us everything we need so that we in turn are able to supply the needs of others. But at the base of everything," Paul writes, "God gives us the gift of his Son, who, though he was rich, became poor so that we could become rich." Wherever we make our lists, therefore, in church or in the mall, The first gift we ought to remember in our thanksgiving is God's steadfast love and the Son he sent into the world to die for our sins. The real spirit of thanksgiving, Paul said to the people of Corinth, is enlarged not by receiving more from God, but by giving away to others out of what God has given to us. In other words, when we realize what God has done for us, it triggers such an explosion of joy and gratitude in our minds and hearts that we want to share everything we have with other people. As I spoke about in last Sunday's sermon, the Corinthians were taking up an offering to help the poorer believers in other locations. Paul had been bragging about their generosity every place he went. So he knew that they would come through eventually, even though they had temporarily stopped their collection. He knew, he had confidence that they would come through as they had before for the relief of the fellow Christians in other parts of the empire. And what they were doing, he said, would overflow in many thanksgivings to God, not just their own, but the thanksgivings of many other people that were blessed by their actions. True thanksgiving, then, is more than a holiday when we count our blessings. It is a time when we remember our relationship to God, who is the source of all blessings. And in our remembrance, we become so excited that we reach out to create more blessings and excitement in the world around us. There's a story about a man who had formed the habit of writing the words "thank you" in the lower left-hand corner of all the checks as he paid his bills. He'd write a check to the electric utility or the phone company, and as he penned the words "thank you" in that bottom left corner, that memo section, he would think of all the ways in which his life had been made more comfortable by the fact that the company regularly and reliably provided him with its services. He would write a check to the bank for his monthly mortgage payment and pause for a moment to reflect on the comfort of having a roof over his head as he wrote "thank you" on that check. He'd pay his water bill, and as he wrote "thank you" in the corner, he would say to himself that the water wasn't all that great tasting and probably had some chemicals in it that weren't too great for him. But how long ago was it that his forebears had to pump water from the well in winter and worry about the well going dry in the summer? Even when he was not happy about writing a check, as when he paid his income tax in April, he disciplined himself to write "thank you" on the check, not because he believed the IRS computer would notice it and be gratified, but because it was his way of reminding himself that he should feel grateful to be enjoying the benefits that American democracy provides. That man's constant expressions of gratitude reminds us that we cannot be truly grateful for the blessings that come our way without being grateful to God. Every sincere thank you is an implied "thank you, God." We read in the book of Acts, "Thank you, God, who made the world and everything in it. Thank you, God, who gives to all mortals life and breath and all things." A proper thanksgiving brings us back to the sense of God. It reminds us of what is important in life. It emphasizes turning the world into God's kingdom. It gives thanks for Jesus before everything else in our list of blessings. There are two ways of looking at life. We can look at life as a merry-go-round with pretty colors and fancy-like horses and carriages to ride in and lots of brass poles to be grasped. But the life lived on a merry-go-round doesn't really go anywhere. It only moves around and around and around in the same path. The Christian view of life has always regarded life as a journey, the way John Bunyan did in his book Pilgrim's Progress. with mountains to climb and rivers to cross, and periods of despair to make our way through. And at the end of the journey stands the Creator of everything, waiting to receive us in love and rejoicing. If we are thankful only for the abundant gifts in our lives, for food, shelter, and clothing, automobiles, TVs, and cell phones, puppy dogs, and beautiful homes, we're looking at life as a merry-go-round. We're happy as long as the merry-go-round is turning and the music is playing and there are brass poles or brass rings to grasp. It is when we are thankful above all for the gift of Jesus Christ that we see life as a journey, reaching out before us, and know that our relationship with God is the most important thing in life. Then Thanksgiving takes on a new dimension, a deeper dimension, and we realize it can occur in the face of death, or when we are poor, or jobless, or that there is no food on the table. We can still express thanksgiving to God. In 1636, Europe was in the middle of a conflict that later became known as the 30 Years' War. The walled city of Eilenburg, Germany, became an overcrowded refuge for the casualties of the war and victims of hunger and illness. During this time, Martin Rinkert, a Lutheran pastor, was the only minister in the city. It is said that he conducted 4,500 funerals in 1 year, sometimes as many as 40 or 50 per day. His parish was ravaged by war, by death, by economic disaster. Yet, in the heart of that darkness, with the cries of fear outside his window, he sat down and wrote a prayer that would soon become one of the favorite German hymns ever written. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Here was a man who knew thanksgiving comes from the love of God, not from the love of outward circumstances. If you were raised in a family that incorporated prayer into your childhood routine, you may recall a time when it seemed that stretching out your night prayers was the only way to get around the command to go to sleep. One little girl became an expert at this by developing an ever-growing list of thank you God prayers. She would pray for every child she knew. Thank you God for Alice. Thank you God for Patty. Thank you God for Bobby. And on and on and on, naming each one and thanking God individually for each one. Then she would breathe deeply and run through a list of adults that she encountered at school. Thank you God for our principal, Mr. Baker. Thank you God for Miss Nordell, my teacher. Thank you God for Miss Franco, the school librarian. And on and on and on. She also had a catch-all list, which included such items as thank you God for the lady in the shoe store. Thank you God for my birthday, which comes in 11 weeks and 3 days. And of course, there was a thank you God for Mommy and Daddy, and one each for Alice's and Patty's and Bobby's Mommy and Daddy also. There were nights, however, when this prayerful little girl was so tired she could hardly keep her eyes open as she groped her way to her bed. On such occasions, her anxiety for sleep moved the prayers in the opposite extreme. She would forget her long list of thank you gods and say simply, "Thank you, God, for God. Amen." Thank you, God, for God. Amen. Because God is God, we are worthwhile. We have value. Because God is God, our lives have meaning and purpose. Because God is God, we do not hope in vain for fulfillment. Because God is God, we are going someplace with our lives. We're not just on that merry-go-round, going around and round in circles. Because God is God, the final victory over death already has been won. Thank God for God. Amen. It isn't any wonder that the Apostle Paul, surveying the marvel of such faith, exulted in his letter to the Corinthians when he wrote, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." All the other things, mere things, are good, and we cannot be but grateful for them. But Jesus Christ, our faith, the eternal life that's offered to us, the journey, these are beyond price, and they are the real objects for our thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Dear God, it is hard for us to thank you with a head full of worries and a heart full of troubles. Sometimes we have to complain to you before we feel free to love you. Oh God, our lives can be so difficult. Some of our days have been filled with heartache, loss, confusion, sickness, and even death. Sometimes, God, you have seemed far off and impossible to understand. God, we wish we could understand why life must be so painful. But we know that the hurt has stretched and deepened us. We know that you suffer alongside and with us. Help us to know the secret of resurrection. Show us how to move on from suffering to rebirth. Go with us now. Go with us now as we move on, dear God. As we get off the merry-go-round, as we resume the journey, go with us, Lord. And thank you, God, for God. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is, "Now Thank We All Our God," singing verses 1 and 2. It's located on number 766 in the blue hymnal. Our moderator, Lisa Jacobson, to come forward. Lisa has an announcement to make after the benediction. Go forth then with thankful hearts. Go forth into the world with God's renewing and strengthening spirit. May the Spirit fill us full of praise and joyous affirmations of life. Amen.
Reverend Dominique will be on a pre-planned vacation for Thanksgiving this week, and the Reverend Beck Drake from the First Baptist Church in Woburn will be the guest preacher next Sunday. And then Pastor Dominey will return to the pulpit the following Sunday, December 6th, and will then begin a medical leave of absence. Martha was recently diagnosed with cancer, and her doctors are optimistic that it may be cured by surgery. This procedure will take place on December 7th, and Martha asks that we respect her privacy and not request additional personal health-related information. Elected leaders of the congregation are beginning the process to arrange for pastoral coverage while Reverend Dominey is on leave, which will hopefully be for no more than 6 weeks. So please keep our pastor and our elected leaders and congregation in your prayers during this time. Thank you.